You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome to the Dynasty Draft Room, presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Ryan Sirfoss, joined by always with my co-host, Eric Adams. Tonight we have a great show. We have a couple guests on. Matt Hicks is coming back, as well as Dave Hillman from Dynasty Dorks. And remember, if you like our podcast, enjoy it, subscribe, give us a five-star review, and come talk with us on our Discord channel to talk about everything NFL Draft. All right. Matt, how are you doing tonight? Second time back on the show since last time,
yeah,
I guess.
A big fan of the pod, so glad to be back. And Ryan, can I just say, you know, as the person that puts together the intro reads, a fantastic job with that intro read, making sure to remind the people to give us five stars. I love it. Ryan, fantastic job.
I like you sometimes. Awesome. Dave, well, first time on the show. I think you're our first guest who is not with the Draft Bible. So welcome. Tell everybody where they can find you, plug anything you got.
I appreciate that. Well, I'm definitely happy to be here. It's Dynasty Dorks. You can find me on YouTube, Dynasty Dorks Fantasy Football, Twitter, Dynasty Dorks Fantasy Football, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and TikTok. So thanks for having me on. And great to see Matt and Ryan together. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we were with you really early on. Awesome. So tonight's show, we're doing a super flex rookie mock draft for Dynasty. So I'm kind of hop into it tonight. And Dave, since you're our guest, you got that first overall pick.
Yeah, so this is the chalk pick. So Trevor Lawrence, easy pick. If we're doing super flex, it's Trevor Lawrence for me. He's not only a pocket passer, he offers rushing ability. I'm excited to see what he can do in Jacksonville. There's already weapons in place. Give me Trevor Lawrence.
Is there any possibility or way that any other quarterback would pass him in your super flex rankings, any landing spot in particular?
Yeah, I think we just talked about it on the show. We did our QB ranking show on Sunday yesterday. And we talked about Justin Fields going to San Francisco. As being a spot where, with the weapons already in place with Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo, there's a possibility they could grab someone else in the draft. That's an exciting spot, pairing him with Shanahan. I think that's, you know, kind of a X factor, putting him with Shanahan. So Fields, I think, should be in consideration for the 101 if he goes to the 49ers.
Awesome. And Eric, you're up with the next pick.
And I will follow suit with taking Justin Fields. He's my QB2. I don't really see a landing spot where I'm disliking things. The only landing spot really in the draft that if you were to land in Detroit, I'd be like, ah, crap, that's pretty unfortunate for the first year at least. But, you know, if he lands in a place like – if he does go 3 to San Francisco, whoever trades up to 4, if they want to come get him, if it's Denver, New England – even Minnesota, Washington, Pittsburgh, any of those teams, I'd be very confident with Justin Fields. The only team I wouldn't like is Detroit.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, Detroit's real pivot. That's bad.
He'll be in a rough position if he goes to Detroit, but I don't think Detroit's going to take a quarterback.
No, might not be there. Matt, you're up. You keep it the quarterback trend.
Well, you know, the board has fallen to me in the way that I think it will in a lot of drafts, Lawrence and Fields. And I think this is the first pick with the 103 that you can consider not taking a quarterback, even in a super flex league. And that's actually what I'm going to do because this is the way my actual big board right now falls. And I'm going to take Najee Harris with the third pick. I really believe that Najee Harris's dual threat ability, his ability to just absolutely run over guys in between the tackles, and his seriously underrated pass catching ability gives him enough fantasy football upside to actually put him over Trey Lance, who I do like a lot, but he's going to be more of a developmental prospect, and Zach Wilson, who I am not as high of a fan of, especially if he lands on the Jets, which is kind of what we're expecting right now. So at 1-3, I'd be very happy. You know, we're hoping for a spot like Pittsburgh or a high-volume role like Miami. And right now, if he gets that, he's an immediate top 10 running back for me, and I'm happy to take him at 103.
Yeah, I'd be thinking that I'd probably take him there as well. He's kind of landing spot proof.
He's as close as you can get. He is absolute because he can do anything. I mean, you know, he really does catch the ball just as well as he runs it. So he's as close to landing spot proof as you can get. But Foss, you love to jinx us, so be careful with that.
He lands in Tampa Bay. How are we feeling?
Oh, God.
It's the one spot where I'm like, I'd be a little worried.
Close to landing spot proof. Speaking of guys who I consider landing spot proof, with my 104, I'm taking Jamar Chase. He's an absolute stud. I think his floor is as high as any receiver out there because he can do a little bit of everything. And I think his ceiling's a top five overall wide receiver in fantasy. Kid's an absolute stud. And I know he's had a year off football. I don't care. I'm going him. And there's just less question marks than those other two quarterbacks who I like both of them, but I'm going safe this early in the draft. And Dave, back to you.
Yeah, so I definitely was expecting to get one of those two guys in this pick. So I was just thinking, do I want Najee Harris or Jamar Chase? And with Zach Wilson, I've been just saying it. I'm going to repeat it all offseason as far as the Jets. Is Adam Gase is gone, and everyone just – you see the Jets, and you just get that stink when it comes – you get that when you see a Jets quarterback, you just expect them to look like they did with Adam Gase. And it is going to be a different offense. And they do have three picks in the top 34. So obviously pick two is going to be someone either Wilson or Fields at two. And then you could see them go running back or receiver with one of their other picks in the top 34. So the weapons will improve. They have Corey Davis. They got Denzel Mims. They did a nice job last year with improving the offensive line with the center and the left tackle. I'm going to go Zach Wilson here. Super flex. He's probably, you know, ADP's probably got him at the three spot. I'm getting him at five. I feel like it's a good value. Again, it's super flex. I'm going to go Zach Wilson.
Very nice. Eric, do you think your boy?
Yep. Well, wait, who's my boy?
Huh? Zach Wilson's your boy.
Well, it was going to be one or the other. So my other boy, I got four boys if we're talking about quarterbacks here, and I'll take the final one here. Trey Lance is going to be my pick here. I think I'm at the point right now where I think he's going to be the third overall pick. I don't think it's going to be Fields. I'm hearing way too much that it's not Fields. So it's either going to be Jones or Lance. And Lance makes sense to what they want to do. If you really want to stick with Jimmy G for this year, for your, you know, they have a very good roster. If you stick with Jimmy G, you have Trey Lance come in, learn, sit for a year. I'm willing to be patient with him. Trey Lance has all the talent in the world. He's dual threat. I'd be willing to wait it out to get the talent and the upside.
Okay, you're taking him at 1-6. You're not a bad team in fantasy. You're probably fairly competitive. Are you comfortable taking a guy who could sit this year?
That's what I'd be.
Saying, is that something you're completely okay at this point?
Yeah. I would be willing to wait.
And then I would just say this. If he's drafted that high, you're not going to have to wait a full year based on the historical data. Anyone that's drafted that high is starting before week 8. The only person drafted in the first round in the last 3 or 4 drafts that did not start before week 8 was Jordan Love. He was a healthy scratch almost all year. I know that some of it was due to injury, and Tyrod Taylor was 3 of those occasions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, historically, if you're drafting the top 10 by week 8, you're a starter.
Especially if he lands in San Francisco, Jimmy will be hurt by like week 4. So
yeah, and those teams are generally bad. San Francisco's not, so that could be, you know, could change things.
Yep.
All right, Matt, back to you.
All right, man. Well, I mean, you know, part of drafting here is sticking to your board, and it looks like the next guy up for me is Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. Waddle is my wide receiver 2. He has been. He has not moved in a long time. you know, he's fast, but he's more than just his speed. He has great hands, tremendous athleticism, good route running ability. And I do think he's going to come with, you know, probably top 15 pick. I would be surprised if he made it out of those top 15 or so picks. We were talking about this pre-show. I am hoping he goes to the Chargers, pairs up with Justin Herbert. I think he would absolutely shred in that offense. And I think it's a very realistic landing spot. We talked about it earlier. Let's just hope he doesn't land in Detroit. I would not love that. And I don't think the Lions are going to go wide receiver in the first round, but I'm very excited about Jalen Waddle. And at 1-7, I get my wide receiver too.
Yeah, he's a popular guy on the show. He's Eric's wide receiver one, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Nice.
Little ball thing. I was really hoping you wouldn't take him, but that's all right. Looks like taking right here, Travis Etienne. I have my reservations about him. I want him to land in a perfect landing spot where it will maximize his ability and where he can do the outside zone running. I don't love him in certain situations, but on a pure talent basis, the drop off at running back happens quick. So I kind of want to just lock it down with Etienne here. And out of where we're at in the draft, again, he's less questions than what's below him.
Yeah, and the top of the second round, there's a lot of teams that really could be good spots for him. So if he doesn't go to the first round, you could see him early in the second round, whether it's the Falcons, whether it's the Jets. And a lot of teams do trade up from, you know, from the beginning of the second round to the first round. So someone that's not in the first round could make a move to get him.
Yeah, get the fifth-year option with him.
Yep.
She's perfect.
All right. So
back to you.
I was going to take Etienne or Pitts, so you left me Pitts. I'm going to take him. I feel like this is perfect spot for him. Thought about Javonte Williams a little bit, thought about Devonta Smith a little bit, but if you can figure out the tight end position and not have to worry about it for the next 10 years, let's go. Because if you got Kelce, he's not going to be in the league too much longer. And then we don't know who the next, you know, we got Kittle and we got Waller, but I'm going to take Pitts, and maybe this year he's not the stud tight end everyone expects him to be year one, but I don't think I'm going to have to worry about tight end for a long time.
No, and I saw I did a show recently with Ryan McDowell, and he brought on the ADP, and he's going like in the 40s for fantasy startups now.
Yeah.
Like he's going higher than some of these other guys, even though you're getting them later in the draft. It's absurd. He's going I want to say tight end 3 or 4 at the moment.
Yeah. I've seen him, you know, 4 or 5. He's going above Hockenson or after Hockenson, depending on where it falls.
Yep. Matt, I saw you shaking your head on that one.
It's just too high. I mean, here's the thing. You can like Kyle Pitts without expecting him to produce at a high level early. And when you're drafting him in the 40s in a startup, that is just – it's putting too much pressure on a player. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You know, it's not disliking prospects. It's disliking the price that you're putting on him. And I think that's what we're doing with Kyle Pitts at 109. I love that. But the amount of folks that I've talked to that want to take him at 104, 105, it's really shocking to me. So 109, that's right. He's actually 9 on my rookie big board right now. So we hit it on the head. But a lot of folks out there, they want to take him top 5. And you have to be okay with the fact if you look back the last 3 years, the best tight end was Chris Herndon with 113 points in this first season. If Kyle Pitts right now, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant right now, but I'm passionate about this. So Kyle Pitts right now, I did out my projections for him. I have him having a historical season for rookie tight end production, and he projects out as tight end 12. and if he hits tight end 12, that would be fantastic. But again, that's historical production. So I just want us to proceed with an understanding of what it's going to take for him to be an impact player. And if you're drafting him, you need to be willing to be in it for 2 to 3 years before you start panicking on Kyle Pitts. So you said it perfectly, Dave.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and if you draft him that high and he finishes his tight end 12, you're going to be disappointed. And you're not disappointed for the right reasons.
So like, here's just
you're disappointed with your, you should be disappointed with yourself and not him.
So one question, and not to get too much on a sidebar, but if he gets called wide receiver Kyle Pitts out of Florida on draft night, does that change anything for anybody?
I think it sinks him. I know we've talked about this, and I like Kyle Pitts. I do, but in the wide receiver class that we're working with in today's NFL, in fantasy football, I think his value is at the tight end position. You know, when you translate those traits to playing wide receiver, you know, this Megatron comparison, I think, is just completely absurd. So I still think he could be a really good NFL wide receiver, and maybe he ends up in wide receiver 2-3 territory for fantasy football. But I think he loses a lot when he loses that tight end designation.
Yeah, it feels like the opposite of Chase Claypool last year when you say that.
Reverse Claypooling. It's going to be a term.
Oh, God. Eric, you're up.
All right. I'm going to take Devontae Smith. It's been long enough here. If I can get the Heisman Trophy winner at 110, I'm going to take him. Spare me the crap on his weight. Just not having that conversation. I'm hoping he lands in a spot where they know how to use him. Some of these offensive coaches have no idea. This guy, you can scheme crap up for. So I'm hoping he lands in a good spot. Devontae Smith, good at football.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus was talking about him and J.C. Horn and how, you know, J.C. Horn is labeled, you know, one of the most physical corners, and Devonta Smith just put him in a blender time after time.
Yeah. I mean, he's – yeah. There's a lot on tape that just makes you go, you know, I don't really care what he weighs in. 160, 170, 258. I don't really care. He's good at football. I will take him. I'll take my chances.
All right, Matt, you're up.
All right, I get my man with this pick. Terrace Marshall, wide receiver out of LSU, running to the podium to make this pick. Eric just took my wide receiver 4 in Devonta Smith. Terrace Marshall is my wide receiver 3. The way he wins specifically translates to fantasy football success. He wins in the deep third of the field. He's great along the boundary. He has really good contested catchability, really great hands. I think he has underrated route running ability. He can play big slot, which is a new kind of trend, I guess is the word here in the NFL. And we've seen those big slot guys dominate over the past couple seasons, especially early. So I think that Terrace Marshall can just come in and make an immediate impact. So I'm really excited for that. He's my most underrated guy right now, and I'll be happy to scoop him up here.
And if you're doing a rookie draft on Sleeper, come that point in the season, they don't change their ADP by them. He's listed as wide receiver 9, which is absurd. So take advantage of that. That's
absolutely absurd.
And they also had Pitts not as tight end 1. On there, so keep an eye out for that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they had Freiermuth and Rev Jordan above it, which is I don't understand.
Yeah, they apparently have Pitts already moved to wide receiver.
That must be it. So to end out the first round, take Javonte Williams. He's the last, I think, full time running back on the list. I'm hoping he lands somewhere like Pittsburgh, who will just run the crap out of him, play power football, and maximize his skill set. Kid's a stud at the position. He can run inside, run outside. He has a little bit of enough receiving where he's threat. He's to make a little bit of a big play, splash plays here and there. So I'm all on board with that. And at the last pick of the first round, I'm happy with it. Locking down a potential starting running back.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a good pick. I like both those picks. I thought I was going to get Marshall here. But I got Bateman, and I'm gonna give a shot at Bateman here. I feel like when he shrunk at his pro day, Terrace Marshall really stood out with his height, because you know he's you know the biggest guy as far as the top, you know, top 5 receivers, and everyone had Bateman. That was one of the things they liked about Bateman the most, was he had the prototypical size. And when you shrink 2 inches and lose 20 pounds and lose kind of one of your best features, that's tough. But he still is a good receiver. I think, you know, he still could sneak into the first round or be an early second round pick. I think Bateman is 201's really nice spot for him.
Yeah, I'm a big Bateman guy. I'd have a really hard time if it was between him and Marshall for me on the board. It's going to come down to the landing spot. I know Matt hates him, but I think there's a lot there to like. He's very versatile.
Yeah, I would have took Marshall over Bateman, but I was not too sad about Bateman being there.
No. Eric, it's on you.
I'm taking a guy who's aggressively too low on sleeper here. I'm taking Elijah Moore. That's my guy. I have all the faith in the world in Elijah Moore. Aggressively low. That's disgusting how low he is.
Oh my gosh, where is he?
I'm taking him. I have all the faith in the world in his game. He's going to be a stud at the NFL level, and when he's playing in Kansas City, it's going to look even better. So Kansas City, pick 31. See you there.
Okay, I got to beef with that. Why are we so set on everyone going Kansas City and fantasy being great now? Because they have two huge target monsters. And I just don't see where he gets the volume with those guys there.
He's not making it to Kansas City, man. He's going off the board before we get there.
You think he will?
I think he could go to Tennessee. I think he could go to New Orleans. I think he could go to Green Bay. I don't think he's making it to Kansas City, my man.
Tennessee, whisper sweet nothings in my ear. I would love that.
Yeah. And
Ole Miss North.
NFL mock draft database has him going to Green Bay quite a bit.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it with the Green Bay thing.
I'll believe
it when I see it when they take a wide receiver. I swear to God.
Jamie Newman's the pick for Green Bay.
Stop.
Yeah, and yeah. Ryan and I talked about this we were on a show a couple weeks ago, and we talked about the offensive line issues with Kansas City. Don't rule out tackle. They signed Joe Tooney. He's not a tackle. They need someone out there to protect that $500 million. It's not going to do any good when he's stand on sideline. Just had successful surgery recently on his toe.
It's a good value spot for offensive line too, right there at 31.
I agree, but they I don't know, man. Kansas City does some weird things. A lot of people had him pegged going running back last year, and I feel like we were saying the same thing. Oh, I feel like there's other things they could go with. You know, they probably need a defense. Nope. They like weapons there. We'll see that Andy Reid plays a devious game there.
Matt.
All right. There's still definitely some really good players, by the way. I'm just going to put us on a quick, this whole idea that's going around that somehow the draft, like the last like week, people have been like, oh, maybe the draft was overhyped. We're not even getting good. Every player we have taken so far is very exciting for fantasy football. And there's still probably three or four very exciting players on the board. And then we're going to get into sneaky guys. And, you know, I get excited about guys in the fifth round. But I just wanted to take a quick aside and say there's multiple players on the board right now that I would be thrilled to take on my team. One of them being the guy who I'm going to take, who is Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State. He's my wide receiver. He's my wide receiver five. I love Wallace. He's a physical guy. He works really well along the boundary. Now, he's coming in at 5'11", 193, which bummed a lot of folks out because he played on the outside at Oklahoma State. But I actually find it very appealing because I think what's going to happen is that Tylan Wallace is going to get moved inside in the NFL. I think they're going to play him on the inside, but I think it's going to be a huge mismatch because he's quick. So he's going to be too quick for linebackers to be able to cover him, and he's going to be too physical for your nickel safety or your nickel DB to come down and really keep up with him. So I think Tylan Wallace is going to be an incredible mismatch at the next level. If you put him in an offense where he could get some realistic volume, I think he's going to break a few off for touchdowns. He's got great contested catch ability. I love everything about Wallace. And if he had not gotten injured, into his junior year, he would have had back-to-back 1,000-plus seasons. We'd be raving about him. And he just fell a little bit under the radar. But I don't think he's under the radar for the NFL. I think he's going high day two, and I think we're going to get excited about him again.
I thought for sure he was going to follow me. I was a little upset there. He plays very aggressive, and I love watching that.
I had two analytics guys on the show last week for wide receivers, and so their rankings obviously were not the traditional rankings that you're seeing out there. And the analytics that they have loved Elijah Moore and loved Tylan Wallace. Miguel had Elijah Moore as his number two, and Tylan Wallace, I think, was three or four.
Wow. Wow.
I like it. I like
I like Wallace where he's at right here. I mean, as wide receiver six, that's feels right. Debate wide receivers here. I'm between two, and I'm probably going to go with one a little less traditional, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown. I really like what he does, and I think his role in the NFL is something that will fit in really well for fantasy. I think he's a good Robin on a team, like we saw with Corey Davis in the last few years, where paired with somebody else, he can put up some very nice fantasy production. He's a monster in the end zone. He wins contested catches. He plays big. He plays physical. He does everything to keep him on the field and get the volume. If he's on a team that passes a lot, and you can see him being a 100-target guy and 8 touchdowns. Like, he has a role that's defined. And with some of these receivers later on, we know if they're going to be slot guys, gadget guys. I know what I'm going to get out of Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it's a damn good football player who is going to be a team's number two receiver.
Okay. So with Amon-Ra St. Brown, the analytics guys did not like him, and he did not fit well with their metrics. And a big part of their metrics was, are you the number one receiver on your team at any point? They didn't like him. I think he screams a slot receiver and a really good one. I don't know about your thoughts, Matt, but
yeah, I was going to say counterpoint here to that. Folks don't give enough credit to, you know, we know about a lot of really good wide receiver rooms in college football, right? You know about your Alabamas, your Ohio State. We don't give enough credit to the crowded USC wide receiver room, including some really good guys who have come out the last couple of years. Amon-Ra St. Brown, as a true freshman, was producing for the Trojans. He hit the field right away, and he's never had that huge breakout dominator season, but he did. He hit the field right away. And he's been really consistent of a guy. And I love that Ryan called him the Robin, because he's not going to be the wide receiver one on any NFL offense. But he doesn't have to be, right? There's a lot of really successful players that aren't the one on their own offense, and that's totally fine. And, you know, another thing I really like is scheme versatility when it comes to wide receivers. You could play Amon-Ra St. Brown basically anywhere on the field, and you're going to get production, and you're going to get, you know, a solid NFL player. So is he the sexiest? Is he the flashiest? No, but he's always been there. He's been consistent, and I think he's going to produce. You know, he's going to hang around, I think, that wide receiver three territory, you know, his entire career. But that's a guy you want on your team, right? You need these guys to win championships in fantasy football.
No, I agree. I was definitely not putting him down, for sure.
Strong flex.
All right. With my next pick, I don't know if I.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm up.
Dave's up.
Oh, yours up? Jesus Christ, my bad.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. So,
I misread the sleeper here.
So I'm gonna go with another guy that kind of shrunk a little bit. He's really fast, out of Purdue, Rondell Moore, and I've seen him to Kansas City quite a bit in mock drafts. I still think he's a second round pick. But Rondell Moore, just swinging for the fences, going for upside with this pick. Explosive player. So I'll take Rondell Moore.
I don't like the hate going Rondell Moore's way. Rondell Moore is a stud, and I'm rooting for him. The only thing I'm worried about is this is a weird draft cycle for finding out medicals, and I have a feeling that's really going to red flag him a little bit. That might cause him to drop a little bit, but, I mean, he was one of the best receivers in college football when he was on the field. So I like him a lot. Don't care about the size.
All right. You're up now, Eric.
Oh, right. Okay. Thank God.
That one's your turn. You don't want to pick.
Now it's my guy.
Now you don't want to pick. Okay.
Look, I don't know if I truly value him here, but I want to talk about him because not enough people are talking about him. I'm taking Kenneth Gainwell. Look, if it wasn't for Najee Harris, he would be talked about as the best receiving back in this class. When I watched him, he was literally running receiver routes. Like, he might as well be a receiver, and he's a really good running back on top of that to boot. So, I know a lot of people are in love with Javonte Williams, and they'll be watching, obviously, the other top two. But, like, the guy I'm looking at running back is Kenneth Gainwell. If he lands in a good landing spot, you're not going to hear the end of it from me. It will literally turn into the Kenneth Gainwell fan club on my Twitter account. just like CEH last year. It will turn into the Kenneth Gainwell fan club, hopefully with a better result.
That's his result wasn't that bad, but yeah.
It wasn't too bad, but for the snooty people who wanted him to be like a top five running back, which was never happening.
Matt.
Yeah, this is really annoying for me for two reasons. One, I wanted Kenneth Gainwell. Two, Eric has unfortunately left me with no other option on my board. Realistically, somebody's got to do it.
No. I know. I have a feeling I know who it is, too.
Well, don't do it. You know, I'm going to make the pick, and I'm not a fan of him, but I think it's a good point to make where there's a point of value, right? There's always a point of value. I just mentioned that, you know, it's not Kyle Pitts that I dislike. It's how it's this cost. Well, I don't like Mac Jones. I don't think he's a great quarterback prospect, but at 2.7, it's the point of value. And so you're in a super flex league. You bite the bullet. You take Mac Jones here with this pick. Now, if this is an actual draft, I trade back, right? Because there's somebody who will move up and get Mac Jones at this pick. You know, maybe you put in your league group chat, oh, I can't believe Mac Jones is still here. Anybody want to move up for the pick? So, you know, maybe you try one of those, but I don't have that option here. So I'm going to take Mac Jones. Listen, you know, there's a lot of question marks I have about his game. I don't think he's going number three overall. His mechanics are frustrating for a guy who lives in the pocket. No mobility really limits his upside as a fantasy football player, even if he is a successful professional quarterback. And I think that's the key. Like, you know, I don't really, you know, I would not put my money with the way that we see a lack of QB hit rates here. I would not put my money on Mac Jones being the quarterback to be successful here, given his lack of consistent mechanics, given his lack of pocket presence for somebody who lives in the pocket and his lack of mobility. But even if he is a successful professional quarterback, his traits are really limited for fantasy football upside. And so there's not much interest in me for Mac Jones, but in a super flex league at 2.7, you're going to get a starting quarterback in the NFL, at least for a portion of time. And in a super flex league, that at least gives you a chip to move. You know, even if you wait for Mac Jones to have one good week, three games into his rookie season, and you flip him for an early second round pick the following year, you know, you've improved your value. So, you know, take the hit right here. You take a starting quarterback in the NFL, at least for a brief portion of time, and you see what you can do with it.
Yeah, I was debating Corporal too. But the value makes sense here for sure. So with my pick, I've got a guy who I feel like not many people in the fantasy world really like, but you always see guys on like NFL.com, like Daniel Jeremiah and all those guys talking about him. That's Kadarius Toney. Every year we have a guy who's just none of us, no one ever seems to like, but you always see him on those lists because he's good after the catch, the return man, explosive athlete, and teams go for that upside and they find a role. It happened with Brandon Ayuk last year. I think we can see he's the kind of guy who has that possibility now, because if the NFL likes the guy and he gets picked where they're saying, he ain't that bad. That's where you get on off of, maybe you don't see it, but get off somebody who's been in that business for a long time when it comes to that.
Yeah. NFL mock draft database has him as the fifth receiver going off the board, according to the consensus data. So that might surprise some people, because I haven't seen him in the top five of many, many rankings. But when it comes down to it, that's where people are putting him as the fifth receiver off the board.
Yeah, I'll jump in here on Kadarius Toney, because I think it's a really good point. And to an extent, I think it extends to Rondale Moore. You know, right now, Kadarius Toney, I have him 28th overall on my big board, and I've actually factored in projected landing spot and how I would change based on draft capital. And I have him going picks 20 through 50. So I have Kadarius Toney, you know, going late first round to early second round, and he's still 28 on my board, because these high manufactured production guys at the college level, you know, Kadarius Toney, Rondale Moore to an extent. Now, Rondale Moore is a better pure receiver. I want to point that out, but he also did have a very high level of manufactured production at Purdue. And, you know, Kadarius Toney, we didn't even see him on the field pretty much until his final year with Florida. High manufactured production in an offense where Dan Mullen, the head coach, is a wizard for how to scheme guys open and make them look better. That's, you know, that is his track record. That's what he's known for. So, you know, Kadarius Toney could get to the NFL. He could be a late first round pick and he could return that value for an NFL franchise, right? He can be an effective weapon, but he's not going to get that level of manufactured production that we're expecting him to get for fantasy football purposes. So I'm totally cool with Kadarius Toney going late second round, despite the fact that I do think he could be a late first round pick. So, you know, late first round NFL pick. So draft capital is important, but remember, it's not the end all be all. I mean, Jalen Reagor was a first round pick. All right. Sorry. I had to throw that in there.
Well said. Well said.
It's called an injury, but it's all right. All right. Back to you.
All right. So, he might end up being a better NFL player than he is fantasy player, but for me, he's the next running back off the board, and that's Trey Sermon. I think, again, I'm swinging for the fences, hoping he gets a nice landing spot here. He may end up on a committee, but if he gets the goal line touches on a committee somewhere, I'll be happy. Running backs are hard to find at this point of your drafts. And I like his size, and he offers that a lot of the guys in this draft don't.
Yeah, he's that wide you keep seeing put with, like, Pittsburgh a lot. And if he goes there, he can take him to that backfield. Sorry for your boy there, Matt. But he's going to beat out Benny Snell if he goes there.
That's not my boy there. That's Anthony McFarland.
Oh, Anthony McFarland's your boy. My bad. Eric, you're up.
So I'm deciding between three receivers. One is going to go, I believe, higher in the draft than the other two. This is so tough. this is hard. It's between Tamorian Terry, Amari Rodgers, and Nico Collins for me. I'm gonna throw caution to the wind here and go Nico Collins. I like what I saw from Nico Collins. I know he didn't play last year, but he had a pretty solid 3 years at Michigan before that. He's got good size. He could be a prototype outside wide receiver. Yeah, I guess I'll go with him. My heart was with the other two more, but I think Nico Collins is gonna end up going higher in the draft.
And I was barely able to find his name on here. Matt, do you?
Are we going two rounds? Or
we're going to do two. We're going to go two because I know you have a show after that. And we got to keep under 45 minutes. But I got a little extra for you two here. So
you're all right. Because there's two guys I really want with this pick. So I was going to see if I could play the game to get them here in the next round. But I guess this is my final pick. So I'll get the guy that I want to talk about here. For me, this pick was between Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan and then the pick I'm going to take, who's the guy I just think is not getting enough hype, and that's Demetric Felton out of UCLA. I am really excited about Demetric Felton. You know, he was used originally as a wide receiver at UCLA when Joshua Kelly was there and just absolutely throwing up yards. And then Joshua Kelly moves on to the NFL. Like, for some reason, remember we got really excited about Joshua Kelly? Not the me we, you know, the general we. And then Demetric Felton in limited games, because remember the Pac-12 only played between like 3 and 5 games this season. But Demetric Felton looked really good at running back. He is a pure athlete. I think he's a really good runner. But they also split him out wide. He's got good field vision. And he was asked to do a lot. He had really consistent hands. And he had great yards after catchability, as you can imagine. He's also a special teams guy. He returns kicks. So he really does it all. They listed him as a running back for the Senior Bowl, but they also had him do one-on-one wide receiver drills, and he really impressed in those. So he's going to be one of these guys. We're not going to know if he's a running back or a wide receiver until draft night, but I'm really hoping he gets declared as a running back, because a running back who could catch the ball is much more valuable than a wide receiver that can run the ball. So assuming he lands as a running back, I think he's a smash second round pick. He could really be a difference maker here at the next level for fantasy.
Nice. I like that. It's getting a little bit different for what we've seen lately. My last pick this round, I'm going to Pat Freiermuth. I'm such a big fan of his. I think he comes in, he's a starter for a team. Again, patience with fantasy production, tight end position. But at the end of the second round, I'm all about a tight end who can do everything, stays on the field, he's a good blocker. He showed he can stretch the field up the middle. He's an absolute brick house. I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm happy with him at this area because I know you got a starting caliber player. But we have a lot of question marks coming up after this. So we did two rounds tonight, time restriction wise. But since we didn't do prospect of the week, we're just added in here. I'm gonna give Dave, you and Matt one player who wasn't drafted. Who you want to talk about?
Kylin Hill.
Kylin Hill. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so if I was playing the ADP game, I definitely would have, you know, I was hoping for a third round so I can get Felton, but apparently I would have got sniped. But Kylin Hill, I think he showed a lot of versatility switching offenses last year, and people got to see that he can be a pass catcher. In two games, someone can pull it up, but he had like 25 or 26 catches in two games. I think he had 15 catches against Kentucky. So speaking about a running back that can catch the ball, and he's listed as a running back. So I would not be shocked if he was the fifth running back off the board. I still obviously wouldn't be shocked if he ended up being the seventh or eighth running back off the board. But he's got the prototypical size, and he's got the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's a good runner. So and the versatility being good in two different offenses really, really puts him up the board. For me, I was really thinking between him and Trey Sermon in round two.
Very nice. Matt, who's the guy you're standing on the table for?
He does have to be my guy. I wanted to hype up Kylin Hill. There's like 20 more guys that I could talk about, and Dave takes the first guy that I wanted to talk about, but that's all right. I'm going to listen. There's a lot of guys that if you're listening to this mock draft, you might be wondering why we didn't take them. You know, there's Brevin Jordan, there's Michael Carter, there's Dyami Brown. There's a lot of guys that could have gone. So I'm going to dig a little bit deeper here. And I want to talk about Cade Johnson out of South Dakota State. I'm a big Cade Johnson fan. He's a versatile weapon. They used him in a variety of ways at South Dakota. Now, at South Dakota, he did play on the outside. He's 5'10", 186. So he's definitely going to get moved inside into the slot here. But he moves really well in short space. He's quick. He shakes off defensive backs. Another guy who had one-on-one drills in the Senior Bowl looked really effective. I think it rose his draft stock. He's an athlete. I think he's going to make an NFL team as a kick returner to start, probably that wide receiver three or four on an offense. But he could be, he could earn his job as a wide receiver two, three over the next couple of years, live into the slot. And he's probably going to go in the fourth, fifth round or undrafted in a lot of rookie drafts. But I think he's going to return some seriously good value. So, you know, I'll go a little bit deeper here with Cade Johnson.
Phenomenal. And while I have you there, give us a plug. Tell us what you're working on one more time for everybody out there.
Me or Dave?
Yeah. I said while you were going.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, hey, listen, it's a couple weeks into the draft. So, you know, I'll plug the rookie big board. Everybody that I've been reading, I'm actually just going down my rankings as we're going through this draft. So, and all my rankings are available for everybody. I have 102 players ranked, or 102 final film evals right now, and 169 rookies ranked for fantasy football purposes at patreon.com/theffeducator. And that's just $3 a month. And that also comes with the Devy big board and Dynasty big board. So I'm kind of calling it like a year-round rookie draft guide for $3 is pretty much what you're getting there. And the last thing I'll plug is Rookie Big Board on YouTube. Me and John Lobb have done individual player profiles, full breakdowns for each of these players, no more than about 10 to 12 minutes each. Every single player we've drafted here today, and another 26 players that we haven't talked about. So if you want to, you know, more in-depth information on anybody we've drafted, I promise you there's a rookie profile video for them on Rookie Big Board on YouTube.
Beautiful. Dave, how about you?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Dynasty Dorks, one word, and then Fantasy Football, two words. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts.
Perfect. And Eric, let's let you do it. What's this? You have anything you're working on?
I got a sandwich upstairs. I will be working on that afterwards.
Beautiful.
You got the show career to work on.
That as well.
I will say this. We got an NFL draft watch party. It's going to be an open link. And rumor is that Ryan and Matt and Eric as well are probably going to be on the show day two. So it'll be an open link so anyone can drop by. There's going to be some giveaways. Dynasty Trade Calculator. We're giving a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. And then Symbol Stock Exchange is going to give away some shares to some stocks of some sports teams.
Big if true. Nice. Insider sources.
Insider sources. And me and Matt are going to be doing a show on Friday of draft weekend together.
Yes,
from
we are.
1 till 3. So make sure to tune into that as well. But awesome, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of Dynasty Draft Room, presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Remember, if you enjoyed the show and you're not subscribing already, click that subscribe button, give us a 5-star review, and we'll catch you all next week.
Later, Tater.